We had a lot of centers of enlightenment in Kentucky. Louisville School Board back in implementing desegregation, and there were lots of areas and very decent and light people over Kentucky that rallied to this. Plus, it was an emotional issue nationally. What Martin Luther King and the whole movement spilled over into Kentucky. And a lot of support out of Louisville, a whole lot of support out of Louisville. And Norbert Blum and those people in the legislature were strong on my side from Louisville.
In 64, when there was the march in Frankfort, mm-hmm. and Martin Luther King was there, and you met with King, and mm-hmm. what did King say to you at that time?
Was a whole group that came in to my office. It was Jackie Robinson and King and Frank Stanley Jr. and Peter, Paul, and Mary, we could only get so many, and they had to pick who that. See, we cooperated with the leaders of the march to keep it peaceful and under control. They came through, and he says, "Governor, you have an opportunity to be the supporter and pass the first civil rights bill south of Mason-Dixon line. Secondly, he said, we're concerned about your statement during the campaign that you would rescind the executive order of Combs, but support the bill, a bill, which was to get around the one argument that Nunn was using, that this is the kind of issue should not be done by executive order, but ought to be done by the legislature. Of course, he made an appeal and says, you and I know what the legislature will do with this issue. Well, I said, Reverend King, we'll pass it. I'm committed to pass it. I ran on that, and we'll pass it. And I've got pictures. I don't have one in here of that. I've got a bunch of pictures of King in my office. I think it's right here. Yeah, here it is. And the person that really made the pitch against, they talked to me and tried to talk me into not being that's when they were talking to me. And that was taken just by a state photographer. They tried to get me not to rescind it, the executive order. He says, that'll be rescinded when you pass the bill. And I said, no, I said I would when I ran. I'm going to do it. I'm going to rescind it. But then we're going to pass the bill. So that was the discussion. But, of course, my daughter was in the march. And she was one of the first people through the door, all excited, Mary Fran, mm-hmm. my oldest child. And my preacher from Hopkinsville, Dr. Fred Fester, was in the march. Awful lot of preachers. Half my cabinet were in the march. And Ed Pritchett had rounded them all up. And Phil Swift, who had formerly been an editor of the Frankfort State Journal. And the Woodford Sun, he was the former editor of that. He was aeronautic commissioner. We had half the, and we had a lot of people in the legislature went to march too. I mean, the Chevy Kincaids and the Norbert Blooms and I think Foster Pettit was in it. Quite a few were in it. It was, you know, it was an emotional reform time. There was a lot of feeling after Kennedy's death. We've got to do these great things he laid his life down for. It was a great time to do those sort of things. So it was not a battle in which we didn't have a lot of support, but there was an under underlying cultural opposition that was here, the darker side of our nature in Kentucky, and it was there. And they wouldn't say anything. I mean, they would get out and make a lot of big speeches. They wouldn't harangue like Wallace, but they'd talk to their farmer constituents when they went home, and they'd talk to their kin folks, and they just, they weren't ready to do it.
Did you have a sense, like looking at that picture of you and mm-hmm. Dr. King, did you have a sense of the amount of history that was going on in that room at that time? I mean, mm-hmm. did you knew it was happening.
Oh, yeah.
You were very aware of it.
Yeah, and I was emotionally involved, like so many others were, because of Kennedy's death. I had Burke Marshall, who had been Bobby Kennedy's civil rights fellow in the Justice Department, and John Douglas, who was Senator Paul Douglas's son. They flew down and helped me on determining how to structure the march so it wouldn't get out of hand, it would be a peaceful march, and that I would not be confrontational, but as it happened in Alabama, they'd gone through all those states, and how it would not be that, and they were very helpful. And they both helped us in drafting the bill. And so I was working very closely with those people. Now, Frank Stanley really took me on about he was with the paper, and they took a very strong position against my rescinding the executive order. And there was only one way to wipe that out, pass the bill. Sign the bill. I did one thing in 64 to further convince people that I was really for it. See, a lot of people were saying, well, Breathitt's not really for it. That's just talk. Mm-hmm. He did the same thing Louie Nunn said he's going to do. And he didn't get it passed. And Louie Nunn's right. The legislature knows how to deal with that issue. And I had a lot of that going on for the naysayers and my enemies and some of the more zealous civil rights people that didn't know what the political realities were. So I went to the governor's conference, and Johnson called me up, knowing I had tried to pass it. And he says, you're the only governor south of the Mason-Dixon line that I can call that I think would sponsor a resolution in support of the 64 Civil Rights Act before the Congress. It's hung up in the Senate with filibusters from some of my best friends and the Southern senators. And he said, would you do that? And I said, I would. He says, get you one of those liberal Republicans to co-sponsor it with you, so it'll be bipartisan. So I asked Hatfield. Of course, it's great for him politically, from Oregon, you know. And Hatfield did co-sponsor it with me, and he didn't know who I was, and I really didn't know him, but I knew he was an academic, and he'd been on that side. And because I'd heard him at the governor's conference speak out on the issue. And so we introduced it, and we got every governor north of the Mason-Dixon line, and we got every border state governor to support it. We didn't get a single vote south of the Mason-Dixon line. Mm-hmm. And there were people like Terry Sanford that were really for us, mm-hmm. and there were people like Frank Clement that were really for us, mm-hmm. and there were people like
Florida
governor. Sanford, Carl Sanders, I mean, from Georgia, who had run on a reform ticket against Marvin, what was that guy's name? He was a real segregationist governor. He ran against him, but they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't sign it. They voted against it. It was that tough in the South politically. And even Fulbright, you know, never would vote for a civil rights bill. It was political death in the South. And so they didn't vote for it, but we did get all the border states. But that, by taking that stand, I incurred the wrath of the, in Kentucky, of the anti-civil rights side. And I think that went a long way to convincing them that I was really on that side. But a lot of them said, oh, well, he's a great reformer when he goes to a governor's conference, but he ain't much when he comes back here to do something. They attacked me from two sides, my political opposition from the Republican Party, and which is expected. I mean, that's just in the game. And then for the real liberals that felt that I should not have rescinded the executive order. And so it just left me there where I had to get a legislature that would vote for it. Plus, I campaigned all over the state. I helped try to build. We got a whole bunch of people really working to try to change the sentiment. And the press recognized what the situation was, and they helped build a climate. Plus, the country was moving in that direction. It was easier in 1966 after the passage of the 64 Civil Rights Act.
But it was still hard.
Oh, yeah, it sure was. Sure
was. Did
you know
how hard all these things were when you got into office?
No, I sure didn't. Well, I'd been in three sessions of the legislature, but we had never had that kind of confrontations.
Yeah.
They had, although Weatherby was very much, he was a forerunner on both civil rights and environment.
Those are tough fights.
Mm-hmm, they sure were. But we succeeded.